Warning, this episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode number 77 of Within the Trenches. Now, it's been about a month since the last episode that I posted up, and that episode was with NPEF, and it was a great episode. Had a lot of fun doing that, some excellent information on there. I've been really busy since that time, and it's been hard to juggle my regular job, my normal job, with the podcast and scheduling people. And I ended up sending out these emails and I got them to answer back right away. And we were going to start scheduling certain things. I had one person already out of Bartholomew County who had an awesome call using text for 911 platform Texty. And, between our schedules and everything, it ended up not working out. So I still have to reschedule that one and a few other ones that are coming up. But, other than that, I've been working on a lot of projects for work, and especially for Text for 911. I've been doing a lot of presentations, demos, and training over WebEx and everything. So it's been really good. It's kept me busy, which has been awesome because I love to be just busy and getting work done. But I've also been doing side projects for like Indiana Nina. So if you are within Indiana or you ever want to check them out, you should check out their new website now. The website was something that I was helping them out with, and it looks great. So make sure to check that out. That's INNENA.org. So it's INA.org. And they got a bunch of information on there. They have a spotlight for their industry partners, and as well as their sponsors and everyone who received an award last year at the 2014 conference for the Teamwork Award and the 911 Hero Award and stuff like that. There's a highlight in there for all of them, so make sure to check those out. And also, if you plan on going to the conference, the 2015 conference, I believe it's April 13th through the 17th, the registration is open already for that as well, and you can check that out, register. It's going to be a really good time. I'm going to be there as well. And I will be not only doing the show, but on Wednesday in the morning, I believe 10:30 or so, something like that, 10:30 to 11:30, I will be doing a talk. And it's not so much a class or anything. It's more of a motivational type thing. It's me telling my story, how I got started when I hit a rough patch in dispatch and, I was ready to be done. And then I ended up, rekindling my passion for 911. So it's my story, but a lot of things that you can take from it and you can learn from and hopefully help you out, especially if you've hit that point where you just, you've burnt out and you just feel like you don't want to be there anymore. But, you love your job, but there's just a lot of things that are holding you back. So it's actually a talk that I did for the 911 conference back in September with Success Communications. And, I had been talking to it or talking about it rather to a few people, and they were saying, you should do that same talk at our conference. So thank you, Kelly and Michelle, for, for having me come to your conference back in September and, doing that talk that I did. Now I'll be doing it again at a different conference. So thank you both for giving me that opportunity, and congrats to Kelly as well for completing all the schooling that she was doing. I saw that she is now Dr. Kelly Rasmussen. So congrats. Well done. Now, all the stuff that I've been doing and everything, and especially with the holidays that are now, or at least the main holidays that are about over now, I have the chance, or I've had the chance rather, to go back and look at my blog, which I want to redo completely. But I've been looking back at some older posts that I had on there from one of them that I'm looking at right now is from 2011. And a lot of these posts are buried within the website. I mean, you would have to select the category and click within the trenches and go all the way back to almost the beginning of when I started this to find a lot of the stories that I blogged about before I started doing the podcast. So I was thinking of doing a bunch of episodes on these stories that I wrote up, and I've got about three or four stories that I'm going to tell. And these are all personal stories from my dispatch experience. And I was reading some of them, and some of them I kind of remembered, and you know, in the beginning, and then when I got to the end, I fully remembered it. And it's just funny to read these and look back on my career. And I just want to share these stories with you, because there's a lot of stories. I mean, this whole time I've been telling other stories, you know, other dispatchers' stories, and I haven't told enough of mine, I guess. So I think you really enjoy it. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the actual post that I put up, because, you know, even after reading it, I wouldn't be able to give you the full story. It would just be, you know, me going back and forth and trying to remember, and it would just sound stupid. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the post to you so that you can hear some of the stuff that happened to me. And also some of these stories, I had written with all the swear words that these callers used at the time, because when I was writing these, what I wanted was I wanted the public to know, you know, what we go through in dispatch. I wanted them to really, you know, get the picture, the idea of what's going on, and to read those words of the caller swearing. I wanted it to be as real as possible. And so I'm starting out with a poo story because dispatch is not pretty. It's not clean. It's not ever clean. And this first post, which I actually have as a private post now, I'm not sure why I made it private, but well, I can probably think of a few things, especially with, you know, where what I'm doing now in life in the 911 community. But even though this is private on the blog, well, I'm about to broadcast it right now. And after reading it, it's really not that bad, but it's pretty funny. And in the beginning of this episode, I put the warning on there, because there's going to be some swear words, like I said. And I mean, if you don't like swear words, then I guess you don't have to listen, but this is going to be pretty funny. So I'm going to go ahead and read this first blog post. And like I said, this first one was, I wrote it and posted it back in 2011, and it's called 911 plus poo equals what? I don't know what my deal was with that title, but here we go. When I reflect on my job, I think about the calls I have taken. There have been the good calls, the bad calls, the funny calls, and the gross calls. Now, I'm going to stop right there really quick, and I'm going to say that I say gross in this post like 20 times. I don't know why. I guess I just wanted people to really take note that this is gross. So anyway, here we go. For this post, I want to focus on the gross calls. I don't know what it is, but some people are just gross, and they seem to put themselves in a position to be caught in a gross situation. I have taken a lot of calls where people are being gross, and I don't mean gross as another way of saying they are being mean. Almost every gross call I have taken deals with poo. It sounds unreal, but it is very real. If someone can't go to the bathroom, they call 911. I understand this is a necessity for the elderly, and they can't help it, so that doesn't bother me. I mean, the whole topic of poo and 911 doesn't really matter because it's my job, but man, it comes up a lot. okay. But when I first went on my own, after a few months of training in dispatch, I was on radios, and one of my coworkers put in a BOL, in parentheses, be on the lookout. A BOL is something we enter and pass on to the person working radios so that they can put it out over the air for the officers in the area to look for. I happened to be on radios that night, and my coworker was taking a 911 call. After she hung up, she busted up laughing and said, "Ricardo, you better put this out over the air, just like the caller said." I started to laugh because I knew the caller had said something funny, and now I had to repeat it. But it definitely wasn't what I expected it would be. I pulled up the complaint, and the caller had said that there was a drunk guy who was going from house to house and pooping on people's driveways. I laughed out loud and had to bite my lip so that I could say it over the radio, but I couldn't say pooping. Instead, I opted for Central to Eastside units, be aware for an intoxicated subject who is going from house to house and is defecating on every driveway. The first officer to key up on the radio couldn't help but chuckle. Sadly, the defecating man was never found. Now, why would someone do this? I can only assume that the guy was drunk, like the next poo person. A few days ago, I received a call from a woman who had gone to check on someone that she looks after at an apartment complex. She had her husband go inside, and when he got into the building, he noticed a guy passed out in the laundry room of the building. And if I remember correctly, this was New Year's Day. So, yeah, New Year's Eve, he had a good time, I guess. So he was passed out in the laundry room of the building. What she said next completely threw me for a loop, and I wanted to laugh, but couldn't yet. "So what's wrong with the guy, ma'am?" The female caller ended up laughing. "Well, my husband said that the guy was passed out in the laundry room with beer bottles everywhere." "There were beer bottles everywhere?" Yeah, but that's not the half of it. He's drunk, naked, and covered in his own vomit and poo." I was shocked, but I bit my lip. Apparently, I bite my lip every time something like this happens, because I realized in a lot of the stuff that I wrote, I'm always biting my lip so that I don't laugh. So I wanted to laugh so hard with the caller, and I let out a chuckle when my recap led to this. "So you said it was a male subject, right?" Yeah, I think so. "Wait a minute. Hun, it was a male, right? I mean, you did see him naked, so it was a man?" She started laughing really, real hard, and I finally let out a chuckle. I couldn't help it, and I could hear her husband laughing in the background. It turned out that as the caller's husband was leaving, the poo guy got up and walked into the hallway and laid down on the carpet, followed by his vomit and poo. The officer got out there, and it must have been bad because... I'm sorry. Because he called on the radio asking for us to call the manager so that someone could go out there and clean the mess, and he was coughing. And I could have swore I heard a dry heave, but I'm not for sure. The guy was arrested for a few different things and brought to jail. As I said in the beginning, some people just put themselves in a gross situation. I see it as job security. Thank you, poo guy. So that was, that was one of many poo stories or poo calls, I guess, that I took in dispatch. Those just really, really stuck out. I remember that call now. I remember sitting at console number 3, taking this call and biting my lip, as I said earlier, and, covering my mouth so that I didn't laugh so hard. I mean, for the public listening to this episode, this is the shit that goes on in dispatch. It's not always life and death. Obviously that does happen, but there are calls that come in like this that are unbelievable. I mean, it's, only in dispatch would you hear about calls like this, and it's funny as hell. But as long as, at least in my opinion, as long as your caller's laughing and, it's not anything that would really get you into a lot of trouble, I find it okay to go ahead and laugh as well, because what else can you do? I mean, I guess you can put them on hold so that you can laugh really quick and then pick them back up, but why not just stay on the phone and enjoy the moment with them? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's my 2 cents on it. The next story that I want to tell you about is, this post is a little longer. It's actually a lot longer and a lot more swear words. And it deals with ride-alongs. Now, I don't know about your agency, but with my agency, when you first start out training, you get, I think it was 3 ride-alongs, because there was 4 different phases that I went through with my training, and the training program is different now. And even when I left, they switched it up. So now you can do ride-alongs with EMS and everything else. So it's really nice. You know, it's really good to be able to get out there and hear about or see what, you know, what's going on the other side. So I thought it was amazing. I thought it was a really good time. When I started out dispatching in Florida, actually, when I was there for 3.5 to 4 years, I rode all the time, but it was just in a small town. And, you know, there was still a lot of stuff that we did, but it wasn't like the county when I did my ride alongs there. So my first ride along was with a deputy. And then from there, it went to, I believe, a state trooper, and then another state trooper. I did 3 ride-alongs. So it was a lot of fun. But the first one was it was amazing. I wanted it. I remember when I left for work that day, and I told my wife, I'm going to be doing this ride along. And she's like, are you going to be wearing like a bulletproof vest or something? I was like, I have no idea. I don't know if I am or not, but I I'm going to be there and I'm going to be riding along, and I'm hoping that there's going to be a chase or a high priority complaint so that we can go balls to the wall and, you know, haul ass to wherever we have to go. So, you know, that kind of freaked her out a little bit, but I was waiting and hoping for the best, and it ended up being the best. It was so great. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading this. And like I said, it's a longer post, but I hope you enjoy it. So the post is called, and this was in 2011 as well when I posted this. I started working for the most recent PSAP in Allegan in 2004, 2005, something like that. But, you know, it took me all that time to finally start writing down all of my stories and my experiences and everything. So that's why, you know, I posted it 2011 instead of way back then, because I hadn't started this blog yet. But this post is called, I'd Say We're Top 3. So remember that title. There have been a lot of funny moments in my life. One I can remember is when I had my first ride along in Michigan. The officer and I didn't know each other that well, so there was only small talk at first. After a while, we got our first call of the night. It was a breaking and entering call that was not in progress, and we headed off. Excuse me. When we arrived, the owner of the home was standing out front and waiting to greet the officer. I stayed in the car, but I rolled the window down so that I could hear what had happened. From what I could hear, his back door had been kicked in and a few things were missing. He believed it was his brother because he had recently found out that his wife and his brother were having an affair. After the report was taken, we left to have lunch with a few other officers. We had not been there too long when the tone came over the radio and there was a disturbance at the house we were just at. We ran out of the food joint and jumped into the cruiser. I had been hoping that we would get a high priority complaint so that we could haul ass with lights and sirens. We took off and ramped onto the highway, going balls to the wall. I remember thinking, there is no oh shit grip, so shift your weight, damn it. I do remember that, because I was freaking out when he was hauling butt and I couldn't hold on to anything, so I had to shift my weight so I wasn't crashing into the side of the door or his laptop that was in the middle part between us. So the ride was badass, and when we pulled up to the house, there was a man outside by the front door and a female wearing only shorts. Or I'm sorry, only wearing a sports bra and khaki shorts. The officer was walking up to the door and the female pulled the man inside and tried to slam the door on the officer. He caught the door before she could close it and was able to get the man out. As he brought him towards the cruiser, I thought the officer should be wearing gloves because both of these people looked pretty messed up. They were dirty, nasty, and appeared to have just finished a session of the horizontal mambo. What the hell was I thinking when I wrote this? Okay. When the officer got to the cruiser with him, he cuffed him for his own safety and put him in the car. As he was cuffing him, though, I noticed that the man started to cry. And out of the right corner of my eye, I saw the owner walking up the driveway, and they looked similar. This fool that was crying was actually the brother. It was crying hard and sitting right in back of me. I wanted to laugh so bad, but I held it in. The owner of the house came around the car and started yelling, "That's right, bitch, you're done. You wait until I catch you on the street, bitch." I can't believe I remember him saying those exact words. It was so funny. It was on, and I turned to give my full attention. The brother yelled back in a rage, and spit flew from his mouth and onto the window. "Fuck you, man. I've been fucking your wife, and she's my bitch now. We're not brothers anymore." I turned around and laughed into my arm. I couldn't help it, and all I could hear were the chants of "Jerry, Jerry, Jerry." As I laughed, the brother in the car with me started kicking the seat. He then slammed his head against the glass that separated us and cried even harder. After his own beating, he spoke to me. "Hey, man. Hey, man. What do you want?" I asked. "Can you let me out?" I stayed silent, and he continued to try to let himself out with no luck. After being there for an hour or so, we headed to jail with the crying fool. On top of numerous charges, he added a charge that was due to blowing a .20. If you don't know, this is pretty bad. Blowing a .08 means that you're legally drunk, so this guy was pretty messed up. On the way to jail, the man started yelling at us. It was the funniest thing to hear him yell at us for his own mistakes. "Hey, guy! Fuck you and this cop. You think you're all big and bad, huh? You think you're good? Well, you're the fucking best that we have, man. The fucking best. You hear me? The best." I remember this guy yelling so hard at us. It was amazing sitting there yelling or listening to him yell at us. Oh, God, it was awesome. Okay, I got to go on. So, what can you do in a situation like this? I mean, you can't yell or swear back, right? The only thing left is to hit them with some charm, a smile, and a little humor. The officer turned the mirror a little so that the man could see him and said, "Hey, settle down, all right, man? And don't call us the best. You have to do something really spectacular to be the best. I'd say we're top three." The guy just sat there after that. I guess the officer made a good point, and it was enough to shut him up until we pulled up to the jail. "Yeah, you guys are real good, huh? You guys get your man, or you guys always get your man. You're good. Hey, I thought you said we were the best. How could we have gone from the best to good that quick?" "Fuck you, man," said the guy. The officer got him out of the car, and the guy started crying and hard. His mouth was wide open, and no sound came out. It was one of those baby moments where they are crying so hard that you have to blow on their face to make them gasp and start crying again. We walked in, and the guy stood in front of a couple cells that held the drunks. They stared in their drunkenness and laughed and made fun of him. It was a sad sight, and what made it even more sad was that I did not have a beverage and popcorn to watch the rest. It was a great night and a grand experience. Every time I see a crying man, I think of that guy who cried in jail and swore at the officer and I. "You're the best!" "Yes, sir, we are, and that's how we roll." Oh my God, that was such a good night and such a good experience for my first ride along. That call lasted a while, and after we left from there, we actually had another call that came in. And you know, this was actually on Mother's Day that this happened, and I remember that because we went to a shoplifting complaint right after that to a Meijer, and I sat in the car and waited. The officer went in and he pulled this guy out. He looked like, I don't know, he was about 19 or 20 or so. And he's bringing him to the car and puts him inside. And he's kind of chuckling. And I was like, what happened? I was like, what did this guy do? And as I'm asking what the guy did, the guy is just sitting in back, just, you know, kind of mumbling and being pissy and stuff. And the officer says, well, he goes, the guy stole a bottle of Jack Daniels and a Mother's Day card that he ended up already signing. He was getting his mother some Mother's Day gifts, but he stole it. Oh, man. So that just added to my crazy night. I mean, every ride along that I had was pretty much like that. It was nuts, but it was fun. The second ride along that I ended up having was with a state trooper, and he was actually a canine officer, and it was the best time. I mean, we were running stationary, and this guy in a Porsche just blew by us, and he was going about 95, and there was so much traffic that we didn't get a chance to just take off. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, you know, are we going to take off after him? He's like, yeah, we'll just give it just a moment. And as soon as he had an opportunity to pull out, he took off. We hauled ass and we caught that guy in the Porsche, and he got a nice fat ticket, but it was the coolest shit riding along with him. And then at the end of the day, he ended up showing me some commands that he does, or that he was doing with his canine. But what I wasn't expecting was for him to turn his dog on me. he gave me a like a koosh ball type thing, and I was holding on to it, and he was telling me, actually, it wasn't a koosh ball. It was actually a tennis ball. Now I remember it was a tennis ball, and we were standing outside of the post in the parking lot next to his cruiser. And he's talking to me about his dog and things that he can do. And he's like, all right, take this tennis ball. He goes, I want you to put it behind your back. And I was like, all right. So I'm standing there and, you know, I'm dressed up and everything, because they had told me, you know, you need to dress up when you're on these ride alongs. So I'm dressed up and it's hot and I'm sweating out there in what I'm wearing. And he throws out this command to his dog, and the dog runs up to me. And he is just in front of me barking. And I mean, the way he was barking, I mean, this dog was pissed. His teeth, you could hear his teeth just like slapping against each other and clanking. And I'm standing there freaked out, trying not to poo my pants. And I'm looking at the officer and he's just laughing at me. And he's like, oh, come on, Ricardo, you can take it. I was like, I don't know, man. I wasn't expecting you to do that. And he was still telling me stuff, and the dog is still barking and barking and barking. And the funny thing was that the dog for a moment stopped barking and looked at him like, what are we doing? What are we going to do next? And the dog ended up walking away after a moment. And then the officer said the same command, and the dog comes running back up to me, and he goes, okay, he goes, what I want you to do now is I want you to take the ball and I want you to throw it up in the air. He goes, but you need to do it fast. And he goes, because this dog is faster than you and he's going to bite your hand off if you don't do it fast enough. I was like, holy crap, man, I don't want to do this. So I'm trying not to pee my pants. And he's like, all right, are you ready? And I said, yeah, I guess. And he gets ready. He throws out he tells me to throw it, and he throws out a command. And as soon as I throw it, I mean, the ball wasn't even a little bit away from my hand, and the dog had it already. And I'm just standing there in shock. And he asks me if I'm okay. And I'm like, yeah, I am, but I need to go change my underwear. Cause that was not fun. When actually it was cool that he was able to do that, but holy crap, that was nuts. That was something else. So I hope you've enjoyed the story so far. I've got tons of stories that I've written that I'm going to be doing episodes like this for, and, you know, kind of filling in some spots. But the last one that I want to tell you about is, it's a domestic call that I took, and I always start out stories like this with, you know, I never think, or I never want to say that domestics are funny, because they're not. They're not things to laugh at, but some of the calls can be funny in a way. And this one turned out to be like that. And when I wrote this, it looks like I wrote all of these around the same time. It was all in 2011. So, this story, it's called More Than Meets the Eye. And the picture that I have with it is a speak and spell. So, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and read this, and hopefully you dig it, because it was really funny, and I don't know, I enjoyed it. It was a good call. I have been reflecting on all of the calls I have taken, and although I would like to keep hitting you with the crazy calls, I thought I would give you a taste of something funny. During the first year of my current career, and remember I said this was back when, I had already taken several calls that I never thought I would take. They were bad, they were good, and they were very funny. I mean, I took a call once where a man was upset because his girlfriend was tossing his spam out of the window of his camper. Now, that actually was a domestic call as well. And like I said, domestics are never funny, but this guy and his girlfriend, I think he was like, I don't know, maybe 35 and she was 60 years old, something like that. And they were living in a camper out in the back of a friend's house. And they had gotten into an argument and there was nothing physical, but towards the end of it, right before the officers got there, this guy started yelling that his girlfriend was throwing all of the spam out the window of the camper. good times. So anyhow, one that sticks out in my mind is a domestic call I took. Now, I know that no domestic call is ever funny, but this one was odd and funny. It was a hot summer night and there was a full moon. For whatever reason, the crazy shit hits the fan when we hang, but we hang in there and we do what we do. I was sitting at phones and the phone rang. I had already taken call after call, and when I picked this one up, I immediately heard screaming. I tried to get the caller to answer me, but there was just yelling in the background. After bringing my voice down to a whisper, someone finally spoke. I was relieved that I was able to make this technique work, but the voice was not what I expected. Now, just to explain really quick, the technique that I'm talking about there is they taught me in Florida at my 40-hour dispatch class that a kind of a trick to use when you're speaking to somebody on a 911 call when they're just yelling and screaming and everything is to bring your voice down to a whisper, and it kind of tricks the person in a way because they just hear the whisper and then they stop and they'll end up asking, "Is anybody there?" And I can't explain exactly how it works out, but it has worked for me many times. And that's what I've done. I brought my voice down to a whisper and the caller ends up wondering if somebody is actually on the line. And when they ask you that question, then you jump in and you start getting all of your information. So that's what I was talking about there. So I was relieved that I was able to make this technique work, but the voice was not what I expected. When the voice asked if I was there, I pictured a speak and spell holding a phone up to where its ears would be. All I am saying is that the person had a robotic voice, and I believe this caller was a person who had a laryngectomy and was using a handheld talking device. It was hard to understand this person, but it turned out that the daughter of the caller was simply upset because she was not getting her way. Nothing bad had actually happened, and they were just arguing. What made me look like an ass, though, was that throughout the conversation, I called this robotic wonder, Sir. Now, I put in here why I went with Sir, I don't know, but I remember, actually, that the reason I was calling this person Sir was because I thought the person's name was Carl, and that's what I heard was Carl, so I kept saying Sir. Well, I was wrong. This person was finally fed up with the Sir business and said, "Sir, I am not a Sir. I am a ma'am." Now, think about that with a robotic voice. And what happened next was the person said, "I'm not Carl. I am Carol. This thing makes me sound like a man." And I was trying not to laugh. But then she goes, "Ha, ha, ha." And so I was able to at least chuckle and with this person, even though I was still being professional, I was able to chuckle a little bit because this person was laughing in their own way. And it just, it made my entire shift that night. And whenever I see a speak and spell or anything like that, it takes me back to this call. And, you know, it always makes me smile. So these are just a few of the stories that I have buried within my blog. My blog, I have like 500 posts, and that encompasses everything. I mean, I have stuff on there that's just news stuff that I reported on, my own personal stories, and then my personal dispatch stories. So there are tons of them that I have there that I'm going to turn to episodes like this. So I hope you enjoyed these first few, and I'm going to be busting out a lot more, as well as other people that will be coming on and telling their stories, and industry partners and everything else. So, you know, once again, if you get a chance, make sure to check out Indiana Nina. That's INNA.org, INNENA.org. The website looks awesome. If you plan on going to the conference, sign up now. The registration is up and available. And for those, you know, listening and everything, if you didn't hear before, we've got a new place that you can listen to the show, and that's on SoundCloud. So if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that, you can email the show. It's wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @901podcast. You can find us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And then you can listen to the show 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud, and everything is held on thejabberlog.com. So make sure to check that all out. And yeah, thank you for the support, the patience, and everything else. And we've got more coming. Have a good one.